One of the tragedies that I have seen in my life and in the life of other people is when somebody comes to your house as a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or Unitarian or whatever it is, and they come with their doctrine, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and when they start talking to you, you can't even defend what you believe. That's not right. If you really can't defend it, how will you die for it?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has studied the Bible for almost 50 years. His goal is to help ground you in Scripture so you can confidently stand for Christ's truth in a world that's filled with spiritual confusion and chaos. For Raul's full story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Well, with our series focused on the person and work of Christ, we'll get a challenge to better familiarize ourselves with what the Bible teaches about Jesus so that we won't be swayed or deceived by false statements about Him. As the world becomes increasingly hostile to Christ, it's more important than ever to have a firm grasp on the gospel's truth. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, The Pre-Existence of Christ as God. If you have your Bibles, join us now in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
As I was reading the scriptures and studying, the Lord really spoke to me on the importance of biblical doctrine. Among the Muslims, they believe that Jesus is one of many prophets. Yet in the Old Testament, we see the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, or a theophany of Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one. Three persons in one. And what's amazing here in John, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, he introduces the letter by speaking on the pre-existence of Christ, that He is God. He's not an angel. He is God. And yet here, listen to what John says beginning in verse 1. Verses 1 through 4 of 1 John. He says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things are written to you, that your joy may be full. Now, when you're studying the epistle of 1 John, you will find out that there are four purposes why the epistle was written. He gives you here the first reason why it was written, and that is that you may know that your joy may be full. The second purpose is found in chapter 2, verse 1, that you may know that Jesus Christ is your advocate when you sin, that He stands for you, ready to forgive you for your sins. And then in chapter 2, verse 27, he actually shares concerning how we have not only a deception going on, and then he tells you that you have the guarantee of eternal life in 1 John 5:13. So when you study the book of 1 John, John is speaking about doctrinal issues, talking to us about Jesus, that He is God. You can't separate Him from God. He came incarnate in the flesh. He was born of a virgin 1900 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. And after He was born in Bethlehem, then Mary and Joseph got married and had other children. But Mary conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. because he was God, Son. Once Jesus Christ was born, he lived for 33 years, and after 33 years of living in this world, from age 30 to 33, he preached, he taught, and he did miracles and wonders, and then he was judged and condemned and killed. And 3 days later, after they buried him, he rose again from the dead. And then he ascended 40 days later to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us today, and he's getting ready to come again at the second coming to judge the world. As we read John's letter, we discover that he enjoys using certain words that are words like manifested. He says this, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." What was manifested to us? Jesus Christ, his Son, incarnate in the flesh. John is telling us that this life was not hidden so that we have to search for it to find it. It's before us. No. It was manifested, revealed openly to every one of us. God has himself revealed himself in creation. But creation alone could never tell us the story of God's true love until he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He's revealed that to us in his word, the Bible. That's why in John 14:9, Jesus said to him, he said to Thomas, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me," Jesus, "has seen the Father, so you can say, 'Show us the Father.'" He says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." We're equal. And so is the Holy Spirit. We're equal. And because Jesus is God's revelation of himself, he has a special name. What is that? The Word of God, or the Word of Life, that John uses here. The Word of Life. Speaking of his pre-existence, Jesus as God himself. In order to know God's Word, you need to study doctrine. You need to study the books of the Bible, so that you can know what you believe in. One of the tragedies that I have seen in my life and in the life of other people is when somebody comes to your house as a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or Unitarian or whatever it is, and they come with their doctrine, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and when they start talking to you, you can't even defend what you believe. That's not right. If you really can defend it, how will you die for it? Let me give you 3 things today. Number one, the fact of his divine existence. Given to us, number one, by John the Baptist, his cousin. John was the forerunner. The one that was born 6 months before Jesus through Elizabeth, his mother. And that is to prepare the way for the Lamb of God that was coming, Jesus himself. And so when you read the gospel of John 1:15, it says, "John bore witness of Jesus and cried out saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" He's always been. He's speaking of his eternity. Pre-existence of Christ. Here's John. In John 1:27, he says, "It is Jesus who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose." He is God. Imagine that. And then in John 1:30, he said, "This is Jesus of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." John never took credit for himself in any way. Always pointed to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And they were first cousins. Secondly, How about John the Beloved, the one that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, and the book of John, the Gospel of John? What does he say? Well, in John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the word Logos, the word Jesus. And the word was with God, and Jesus was God. The Jehovah Witnesses in their Bible say, and Jesus was a God. They have the word a prefix in their Bibles. And yet in 1 John 1:2, what does he say? The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Who's that? Jesus Christ. The salvation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And then how about Paul the Apostle? Oh, Paul, my favorite. Paul the Apostle in just, not his 14 letters only, but just I chose the book of Philippians. In chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, listen to what Paul says about Jesus. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What is Paul saying? That Jesus, being God, humbled himself to become 100% human, 100% God, and he had to die for the sins of the world. Paul the Apostle. How about Peter? That's another one of my favorites. In 1 Peter 1:20, he says, he, Jesus, indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for us, or for you. Manifested. He came to fulfill the Old Testament law. He came to give us life, and that more abundantly, by shedding his blood on Calvary so that I could have forgiveness of sins. Why? Because I am a sinner. The whole world has sinned. How about Jesus himself? What did he say about himself? Listen, John chapter 6, in verse 38, he says, for I, Jesus, have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Equal. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give in my name, or my flesh, which I shall give for my life of the world. His body. He gave it. And then in chapter 6:61, he says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples had complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? And then in verse 62, he said, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was, notice, where he was before? Where? Heaven. All eternity. If you read the book of Proverbs chapter 8, you will see that wisdom is personified there by Jesus Christ as wisdom in the Proverbs. In John 17:5, he says, and now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world ever was. From all eternity, Father, you know me. We're equal. Now, the second point is this, the activities of divine preexistence. What's that? Number one, he was the creator of the universe. John 1:3 says, all things were made through Jesus Christ, and without Jesus Christ, nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Jesus Christ all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that's angels, good and bad. All things were created through him and for him. And for him. Hebrews 1:2. Has in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And then in Hebrews 1:10 he says, and you, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Imagine that. Creator of everything. Secondly, he controlled it. In Colossians 1:17 he says, and Jesus Christ is before all things. I love this. And in him all things consist. In the Greek it's better. He says, and in him all things are held together. Neutrons, protons, everything in the universe is held by him. When he lets go, we're in trouble. He holds it all together. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself Jesus purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He came, he died, he rose, he sits. He's coming again. And then he was communing with the Father. In John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. In verse 23 he says, I, Jesus, in them, and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you, Father, have sent me, Jesus, and honors, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be one with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Imagine that. He's always existed. He's always been. From all eternity. Creator. Savior of the world. And then the third point is interesting. Because in the theology of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, he always appeared, listen to me, as the angel of Jehovah. Don't confuse it. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a theophany biblically of Jesus Christ before he came in the flesh. Check this out. When he came to Hagar, the mother of the Arabs, before Ishmael was born, she got in a fight with Abraham's wife Sarah, and she was kicked out because she became jealous. It says in Genesis 16:7, now the angel of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And then he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where are you coming from and where are you going? And she said, I am running away from the presence of my mistress Sarah. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. And then the angel of the Lord Jesus said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitudes. And the angel of the Lord Jesus said to her, behold, you are with a child and you shall have a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. And they're also brother of what? Isaac. The Arabs and the Jews are brothers. Imagine that. Now you see the conflict. Check this out. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, I have also here seen Jesus who sees me. And therefore the well was called Beer Alon Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So here again in the Old Testament, between the Arabs, Jesus appearing to who? The Arab's mother. Secondly, how about when he appeared to Abraham, the father of the Jews and of the Arabs? Check this out. In Genesis 18:1, when he's getting ready, Jesus, the angel of Jehovah, is sending two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin. It says, then the Lord appeared unto Abraham by the terebinth tree in Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door of the heat of the day. He invited them, prepare a meal for them. And then they said, you know what? How can we keep this thing from Abraham and not tell him that we're on our way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So he told them. And Abraham began to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah because his nephew Lot was sitting at the city gates with all of the homosexuals and lesbians doing business. And what happened? When Jesus sent those angels, the angels came and Lot met them at the gate, invited them to his house. He made a meal for them. They ate. They slept there. But before they slept that night, remember the homosexual community came. They were knocking on the door. And he came out. Lot came out and said, "Can I help you?" And they said, "We want those beautiful men inside. We want to have relationships with him." And he says, "You can't have them, but you can have my daughters." Imagine that. Willing to compromise his daughters. And they said, "Get out of the way. We don't want your daughters. We want the men." And the angels opened the door, grabbed them by the neck, pulled them inside, and blinded the homosexuals. And they became so aggressive, they tried to break into the house. And that was the end of that. That's when judgment came. Pretty heavy stuff. Remember also when Abraham was on his way up to Mount Moriah, 3-day journey with two of his servants on donkeys, and his son Isaac was with him, the Jews. And they went to Mount Moriah, and what God do? God says, "I want you to bring me your son and sacrifice him in Mount Moriah." 2,000 years later in that same mountain, who would die? Jesus Christ. In verse 8 of 22, he says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. But God spared Isaac.
Well, we've just heard a clear outline of an essential doctrine, the truth that Jesus is the eternal Son of God and the exact image of God the Father. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you a complete CD copy for a gift of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And when you contact us, just ask for Raul's lesson titled "The Preexistence of Christ as God." Before Raul Reese returns, we'd like to tell you about a resource titled "Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work." It's a 4-CD study pack from Raul that provides a scriptural view of the Son of God's true identity. As you explore Christ's miraculous virgin birth and the rescue mission he left heaven to accomplish here on earth, you'll also learn how Jesus remained fully God even as he took on the form of a man. Act now to obtain this eye-opening audio pack. To purchase the entire CD collection of Raul's series titled "Jesus Christ, His Person, His Work," just visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this resource for a gift of $19 or more. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, our primary goal is to enrich your spiritual life with the truth and power of God's Word. And we hope you'll take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources. Raul has a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to by searching Somebody Loves You Worldwide. And for added convenience, we've also created an app that you can download to your iPhone or Android to take the power of the Word of God with you throughout your day. Now, on a final note, we'd like to tell you about a rare opportunity to see the richness of Christ's life and ministry through the lens of real-life personal experience. Raul and Sharon are hosting an 11-day pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Together, you'll experience the Bible in a life-changing new way as you retrace Christ's steps on Palm Sunday Road, sail the Sea of Galilee, worship in the Garden of Gethsemane, and much more. The dates for the tour are April 25th through May 5th, 2020. To find out more, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the 2020 Israel Tour link. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Well, we invite you to join us again next time to build up your faith as we return to God's Word and delve into the riches of its truth, guidance, and encouragement. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
And then how about Moses? When Moses was there in the wilderness, and there was a burning bush, and out of the bush a voice came, and the angel of Jehovah, Jesus Christ, said, "Moses, get your dirty feet off my ground, because this ground is holy." And he went over and took off his sandals. He came back. And the Lord said to Moses, Moses, I'm calling you. And I brought you for 40 years into the wilderness to take care of a bunch of dumb sheep. To make you a shepherd so you can lead 3 million people out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. And he said, who shall I say send me? He said, tell them I am that I am. Remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 8:58, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, you look like you're 50-some years old. He says, and you've seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham, I am the becoming one. Same thing he told Moses. I am that I am. Interesting. Beautiful, beautiful doctrine in the Bible about Jesus himself.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.